The Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Patience. It's a word that we've taught our son Benjamin, though I'm not entirely sure he understands the meaning of it. Patience is a really hard thing for a two-year-old, wouldn't you know? Like all two-year-olds, as soon as my son wakes up in the morning, he is in want. I want my blue truck book. I want my dinosaur shirt. I want my smoothie. I want to feed the puppy. I want to see Miss Julie and Miss Holly. I want to go to school. And at this point, we've been awake for maybe 30 seconds. It's the same at the end of the day, too. As soon as I pick him up from the day school, it's, "I want a fruit snack. I want to watch Daniel Tiger. I want to listen to the Grinch. I want to kiss baby Ruthie." The last one's pretty sweet, but still, he is always wanting something and he wants it immediately. So we look at him, we raise our hand and we say, "Benjamin, patience." He's learning our habits. So now after he asks for something, he raises his hand and says, "Patience." And I think he thinks that if he says the word patience, what it is that he wants will come to him faster. But then he usually starts whining about 10 seconds later, and so we're getting there. We're working on it. Truth be told, he takes after me in this department. Whether it's sitting at a red light or counting down the days until Christmas, I have never waited well. Ask my husband, and he'll tell you that any time we go out to eat, I can hardly pay attention until the food hits the table. I just look around at all the waiters carrying around foods, trays full of food, and hope and wonder if it's ours, and it's only when it is that I'm able to look at him and say, "Okay, you were saying." Patience. It's just not easy. Waiting, it's an incredibly difficult thing to do, especially when we live in a culture of instant gratification, and yet, learning to wait is something that the church teaches us to do if we're willing to learn. Advent comes before Christmas for a reason. It's why our community has chosen to celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent this morning, even though it falls on Christmas Eve. We don't sing any Christmas carols during Advent, though I know that many of you wish that we did. Instead, we sing songs of longing and waiting. And the reason for that, though, is that we are imagining ourselves in the position of those long ago who longed for Christ's first appearing. We are attempting to join them in their waiting so that we can more fully understand the real meaning of Christmas ourselves. Now, we all know and it's true, that Jesus has already come, and that's the reason we celebrate Christmas every year, but that's not altogether true. You see, Christmas isn't just a happy birthday celebration for Jesus, even though we might bake a cake and sing him happy birthday with our children. But truth be told, no one really even knows when Jesus was born. No one knows the day, the month, or even the year. We've settled on the 25th of December for a various number of reasons, but it's not really important because, you see, the real reason we celebrate Jesus' birth at all is because it helps us deal better with our longing for his return and the kingdom that comes along with it. See, for all the feasting, all the singing, and all the gift-giving that we do at Christmas, Christmas itself is really not the thing that we are longing for. Christmas is only a foretaste. Christmas celebrates God's union with the world that happened in one person, Jesus of Nazareth. But what Christmas points us to is what we all long for, God's union with all of us. Christmas is a beginning, not an ending. And so, as my pastor once told me, to celebrate Christmas well, we have to look into it deeply in order to see the world that is to come through it. And that, my friends, is what the old priest Simeon did. The scriptures tell us that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. On the eighth day of his life, he was circumcised and publicly named Jesus. About a month later, as was the custom, his family traveled the 2 miles or so from Bethlehem to the temple in Jerusalem to present him as the firstborn son. He was to be dedicated to the Lord along with an offering that his parents brought, which in this case was 2 turtle doves. I'm not sure what brought Simeon to the temple that morning. Perhaps it was his day to perform the priestly duties, much like our clergy rotate responsibilities here. The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit guided him there, so maybe it wasn't his duty at all that day, and it was purely divine initiative. Either way, Simeon made his way to the temple, and upon seeing Jesus, he took him up in his arms. I envision a ceremony similar to the way that we do baptisms here. The child is lifted up, carried around, and introduced to the congregation. Only something about this child was different, and Simeon could see it. So while holding Jesus, he begins to praise God, and he crafts a song that we've come to know as the Song of Simeon. The Nunc Dimittis is the Latin title for Simeon's song. It comes from the first words of the song, Nunc Dimittis Servum Tuum Domine, which translates, now you are dismissing your servant, Lord. The whole song reads in our translation, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now you are dismissing your servant in peace. I wonder what he meant by that. Earlier, we read that the Holy Spirit told Simeon that he would not die before seeing the Messiah. So it seems likely to me that Simeon is saying, okay, God, I can die now. I can die in peace now because I can see that everything I hoped for and everything that I longed for is going to take place after all. It reminds me when I worked in the hospital and the dying would often wait. They would hold out for someone to come and make a last visit before they'd surrender to eternal rest. I once visited a woman who'd been sitting at the bedside of her grandmother for days just waiting for her to die. She called and said, I don't know why she won't pass. So I came to visit her, and upon just moments of being there, her grandmother passed, and the young woman looked at me and said, ah, she didn't want me to be alone. Simeon, upon laying his eyes on Jesus, says, I'm good now, Lord. I can die now. All will be well. All will be well. Many of us lie down to sleep troubled about the future, wondering about whether we will live to see enough to assure us that we too can at last lie down in peace. We are consumed by worry or broken hearts, and all is not yet well with the world, and we know it. We look around and chaos surrounds us, differences divide us, and despair seems to be pushing in on us. How can we lie down in peace when the world seems so far from what it should be? How was it that Simeon was able to sing this song? Was his world just so different from ours? Maybe he could lie down in peace because things just weren't as bad in his day. Then again, that can't be true. After all, the world he was living in was in Roman control, and over 90% of the population lived at varying degrees of poverty. There was no such thing as a middle class. He went to the temple, and he carried out his normal duties, but make no mistake about it, it didn't look like any liberating movement was going to happen in the face of the greatest military power the world had ever known. So surely he too knew what it felt like to be troubled about the circumstances of the world and the future. You see, he knew that he was getting older, and everything that he'd been taught about God and what God was going to do through Israel seemed impossible. Simeon knew this feeling. He knew it. But something about the face of Jesus kept his hope alive and gave him the peace he needed to surrender his life and to believe that all will be well. Surely other priests had laid eyes upon Jesus prior to Simeon, but only Simeon was able to see Jesus as the gift of God that he had watched and waited for, precisely because he never gave up the hope that he would see it. He pressed on with his priestly duties despite his doubts. In the face of Roman occupation, he held the words of the prophet Isaiah close, the words that assured him that a Messiah would come and bring peace to the whole world. My friends, Christmas itself is pregnant with hope, but we don't have to live to see all our hopes fulfilled before we sing for joy. You see, Simeon would not live to see Jesus grow. He wouldn't see Jesus teach. He wouldn't hear the famous Sermon on the Mount, which promised hope and comfort to the poor and the wounded. He wouldn't see Jesus heal the lame, the blind, even the dead. He wouldn't witness Jesus walking on water or feeding the 5,000 with a mere 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He wouldn't see Jesus's great love poured out on a cross, and he wouldn't live to know the power and the beauty of the resurrection. But he trusted God. He trusted that the child which he laid his eyes upon was the key to God's salvation, and that was as good as done just to hold him in his arms. And so he sang, "Nunc dimittis," now you may dismiss. My friends, our eyes have seen more than Simeon's. You see, we not only know of the birth of Christ, but of his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. So as we conclude our Advent time together, and as you walk towards Christmas, remember that it's a beginning, not an ending. And have patience. All will be well. All will be well. Amen.